It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 546. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeNationNet. We have the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all of the past shows, the notes, the audio. It's a great resource. Have a great show lined up. I have a lot of announcements, and then I have some stories in the trenches that I want to get to, some problems I've been working on, and then I got some email. First, want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of this podcast. Instant House Call is the go-to software for any remote support scenario. If you need to support someone remotely, you need to take control of their computer, you need to perform maintenance or show someone how to do something, remotely repair a system, Instant House Call is the answer. And you can try it free for 15 days by going to instanthousecall.com. When you download the free trial, use the promo code MikeTechShow. Or you can just click on the link over at my website at miketechshow.com. Right at the top left-hand side, click on the link. And remember, use that promo code MikeTechShow to get your 15-day free trial so you can kick the tires and then you'll be back to buy it. Great software. CompTIA ChannelCon, which I attended last year in August in Arizona, and we had a Tech Vets meetup. I am attending this year's conference. I'm flying in August 1st. It's in Chicago. And I'm staying through Thursday. Now, first, if you're going, and please only register if you're going. I will have a promo code in the show notes, a link where you can register for free. And that's a $250 value for the conference. Now, I'm not even talking about where they're including meals and different things for that conference. This is tremendous for anybody that's in the IT field. Check out this conference. You'll have a great time. And you're going to get to meet a lot of podcasters there because we're having, there's a little podcaster meetup that more details to follow. And that's going to be on Sunday. So you want to get in there Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Join us for that meetup. And again, the link to register and the promo code will be in the show notes tonight. We also recorded a Tech Vets last night, and the code is in the show notes there, and that's at tech-vets.com. Carrie and I recorded show 135 last night. In the chat, they asked if Carrie's going. Yes, Carrie Holzman is going. Call that girl. Lisa will be there. Podnuts podcasters will be there. Bryce Whitty from Tech Nibble in Australia will be there. Looking forward to meeting everybody. And that is August 2nd through the 5th. I'm going to be in from the at August 1st, leaving on the 6th. We're going to have a great time. Let me know. Send me an email if you're going. At miketechshow@gmail.com. I will make sure you have my cell number or your, I have your cell number and we can text and make sure wherever the meetups are, you want to make sure that you're part of that. So you know where we're meeting. I'm sure there's going to be spontaneous trips to do different things. Make sure I have your email so we can communicate while you're out there. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait. I'm all booked, ready to roll, and I am looking forward to it. So hope to see you there. More announcements. Call That Girl's Office 365 podcast. I will be a guest on Lisa's show on Sunday, June 7th, 12 noon Eastern Time. I'll have the link in the show notes. We will be talking about all things of Office 365 and the good, the bad, and the ugly of Office 365 migrations that we've been part of. How my first one? What's my techniques? What did I learn? What would I do again? Great things that you will learn if you're going to attempt this for your own, for yourself, for your own business, or if you're doing this because you're in the IT field, you're in the consulting business, you're doing tech support, you're going to learn a lot. It's going to be a great show. You want to be there. If you can't be there live, don't worry. We'll have plenty of links where you can download that podcast. And again, that's Call That Girl's Office 365 podcast, June 7th, 12 noon. I want to discuss some of the things I've been working on, and a puzzling one. If you recall a couple shows ago, I mentioned a client having a laptop that was getting a false message that Windows 7 was not genuine. And I thought it was an infection. As a matter of fact, I thought I eradicated it by running CombiFix and then Malwarebytes and, you know, JRT and all the cleaning tools. Well, no, it came back, and I'm having a terrible time trying to get rid of it. I found this on InfoWorld online, and it's an article, Windows 7 hit by rash of bogus, not genuine reports. And it seems like there were a bunch of updates that happened that caused this glitch where Windows 7 all of a sudden thought it was not genuine and got a message. And then they fixed it by pushing another update. I have a double problem. Is this system cannot get any Windows updates. As I'm trying to fix that, and I've ran the tweaking.com's all-in-one repair tool. I've ran the internet repair tool. I've ran FixWin. I reset all of the registry keys the DLLs. I re-registered all those DLLs as part of a fix. I tried everything. I'm at a point where I'm ready to nuke and pave. That's it. I'm throwing my hands up because I've just spent too many hours trying to fix this. I'm getting the laptop delivered to me tomorrow, and I'm going to back up the data. The only app I have to reinstall really is Office and QuickBooks, so I'm going to install that. It's an SSD, and I have Windows 7 Pro already on a USB stick, so the install process is going to be significantly faster to just nuke and pave. So this is one of those ones, and it's very rare for me to throw up my hands and say, I'm redoing it. But there is a point that you got to make that call where you've spent too much time trying to fix it. And right now, I've probably put 4 or 5 hours in. I could have redid that system. I told my client, look, I need it overnight for 2 nights. If you can get this to me Friday, I said the longest it's going to take is for the Windows updates because I don't have a slipstream install for my Windows 7 on the USB stick. So there's going to be like 250 Windows updates, but I can let that thing sit and just do that all day Saturday. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing. when it says that this Windows is not legitimate, when you go system, the genuine picture is there. It's like a false message. It's just annoying. You can close it, but then it'll just pop back up, oh, maybe an hour, maybe 4 hours later. It's very strange. And then not to be able to do Windows updates at the same time, I'm like, that's it. I worked on it last weekend, and that was the second weekend I've spent hours trying to fix this. So that's it. Nuke and pave, redo. I'll use Auto Backup for Tech Pro, 6.0 Pro, backup all the data, double check and make sure I get the QuickBooks data, then redo the operating system, blow everything away, redo it from scratch. Thing will be flying, and it'll work. And since it's an SSD, life's going to go a lot better. And this is a Windows 7 Professional, a Dell laptop. Now, since I mentioned QuickBooks, that's a good segue. I spent yesterday afternoon with a client, and the accountant, who happens to be my accountant, their accountant slash bookkeeper, to perform a QuickBooks Pro upgrade to go from QuickBooks 2013 to 2015. Here's the catch. There's 6 workstations and a server. The server is not a real server. It is a peer server. It's Windows 8.1 running on an HP desktop, but it's the server. Now, when you have QuickBooks and you have it stored on a server, call it a server, even though it's Windows 8.1, you have the QuickBooks database manager that you need to load to announce where the QuickBooks data is located. And you run this little utility and you point to where the data is. So here's the trick or the problem I ran into. We downloaded the QuickBooks 2015. When I installed it, it brings you 3 options in the custom on what you're installing. And this is where you got to understand how everything's going to be laid out. The first option is that you're going to use QuickBooks on this computer, but the data is stored somewhere else. Then you're going to run QuickBooks from this computer, and the data is going to be on this computer, and you're going to share it to other systems. The third option is you don't want QuickBooks on this computer, but you're going to share the data. That's the option we want because I don't want the client software on the server. I only want the data, and the data is already there. So we install. About 30 seconds into the install, it fails with a 1608 error, an MSI error. I keep looking at that error, and it's all tied to a .NET framework error. I'm looking at everything, and I feel that the old version is interfering. So I try to uninstall the QuickBooks that's on the system. It errors out. It says it can't uninstall. So I bring Revo uninstaller to the rescue, and we rip it out and make sure it's gone. So I get in there, I rip out everything related to QuickBooks. Try the install, no joy. Something I noticed when I looked at what processes were running, there were still QuickBooks processes running. And I'm like, no, the QuickBooks sync, the QuickBooks, there were a bunch of QuickBooks things running, even after I uninstalled everything. So I stopped them from starting by disabling them in the task manager. And then I made sure every directory was gone that referenced Intuit or QuickBooks, including going to the app data directory, the local, the roaming. I got rid of every instance of QuickBooks. I made sure startup, there were no references. I rebooted the computer. Then began my install, and it started working. I got past the error, and it installed. What's the lesson here? If you're working at the server and you start to have issues, just rip it out. Make sure, use Revo, uninstall, and I only use the portable version, the free version portable. Rip out every instance of QuickBooks. Then start looking for the directories in program files, in app data. Look for those Intuit directories. Get rid of it. Stop any services. Stop the disable anything that is going to launch on a reboot. Then, nice, clean reboot. It worked beautiful. On the client side, everything went perfect. Once I laid out the server, and by the way, that was like an hour and a half trying to figure all that out and get that going. Now the clients, they installed beautifully, and I was able to just do an in-place upgrade where it asked me, do you want to uninstall the previous version? Yes, uninstall it. It installed the new version, and it went beautiful. So I had the six clients, no trouble at all, accessed all of the proper data files, and then the accountant was challenged with they were making decisions on changing permissions and user accounts. So we mapped that out, who has read-only, who's going to be the admin, who needs read-write capability. We laid that all out. He set it up. We tested it. It's beautiful. So 4 hours to install six clients and get the server worked out. But in the end, everything was working great. But QuickBooks always seems to be a little challenge when you go to anytime I go to do something. Remember when we cloned QuickBooks, we have to delete that one file in order to get it to work after you're done the clone. This just seems to always be some kind of lingering issue or some kind of problem when QuickBooks is involved and we're doing something. So I seem to always be sharing a QuickBooks tip along the way. At least this all worked out and I didn't have to get on the phone and call anybody. Just keep all this stored in the back of your head as you start to run into any kind of QuickBooks support or any kind of upgrades. All right, we're going to get to some email here. And this is from Jason. Windows 8 data pull problems. Hey, Mike, I'm a longtime listener and love your show. I wanted to reach out to you since you always either have an answer or through your listeners, you are able to find the answer. I own a computer repair and consulting business in Texas. As a result of the recent storms, we have seen a lot of blown motherboards in laptops running Windows 8. If the customer does not choose to replace the board, they will typically want a data pull so they can move on to another laptop. In previous versions of Windows, this was easy. I would connect the hard drive to another computer via a SATA to USB adapter and copy the data. With Windows 8 drives, the process does not work. I'm wondering, is it because BitLocker was installed and it's encrypted? I get the following error when attaching the drive. You must initialize a disk before Logical Disk Manager can access it. Select disk, and you have disk 1, disk 2. Use the following partition style for the selected disks, and that's MBR and GPT. You don't want to do that because that'll reinitialize the disk and then you have no shot at getting your data. Neither option allows me to access the drive. In fact, I am prompted to format the drive if I choose these options. I have tried this and was able to recover some files, but a lot of them were not recoverable. I first thought that this was a failed drive. Yeah, that's where I'm thinking. But after seeing several of those in a row, all behaving the same, I began to realize that something else is going on. I don't often reach out for help, but today I am going to yell help. Thanks, Mike. Jason from Texas. First, and I'm assuming that the drive is not encrypted because you were able to see some files, and that's what's puzzling. Wouldn't you see all or nothing? Is there some kind of other damage happening to the drive? I know this is sounds so basic, but did you take the drive to another computer? I've done that. I've, for some reason, my main system here, and maybe it's the USB port and you just need to try a different USB port. I'm also going to say, I've done this. I've hooked a drive to the USB cable on a Mac and was able to read data that I, and this is Windows data, that I could not read on a Windows system. Made no sense. But I'm like, why not? I have my Mac sitting here. Why not try it? Take the disk and try a different USB port on a different computer. You may have better luck. I know I have. I've seen this where I could not read a disk and I could read it on another system. Now, Tim in the chat says, I've got data off of a Windows 8.1 drive before. We don't think it's because it's Windows 8.1. I think it's the scenario as to what was damaged and what happened with that particular drive in that particular system. And it's interesting that you're running into a bunch like this. Are you only using one computer to do your test? It's like trying the power and there's a problem with each of the devices and you find out, well, the socket that you're plugging into doesn't work. You know, try a different socket. I'm getting the basics here, and I know you might have already tried it, but it's just something you have to try everything, especially when you're going crazy and you can't figure out why it's not working. I have something else for you to try. Go get a different USB to SATA. They're cheap. Go buy a different cable. So you got to try different things. Try one of those holders where you just drop the drive in. I want you to move your test bed, move where you're trying this. Try a different computer, try a different USB port. I want you to try it on Windows, I want you to try it on a Mac and see if you can read it. And then I also want you to try a different cable. If you have anything else for me to recommend to Jason, please let me know. Send me an email, give me some ideas so we can share it. This is from Will. Funny Amazon tricks. Is it the Mike Nation magic? I sent for two inexpensive two-port USB 3 PCI cards, but got one two-port and one four-port. That's funny. You would likely ask, why bother even ordering two-port cards? But they were $7 each with free shipping. One of the nasty tricks some vendors play is the cheap device with the exorbitant shipping and handling, like $12 USB card and $8 to $10 each for additional shipping and handling. You always have to look out for that. It's not about just the price when you're looking to buy some. It's the total cost when you add tax, shipping, and handling. Well, this kind of upgrade substitution has happened to me before at Amazon. I ordered two 500 gig hard drives and got one 500 gig and one 750 gig. I guess some of the vendors Amazon are so happy they want to spread the joy. Okay, now I'm suspicious that these USB devices were so inexpensive. Now there may be ulterior motive for the low price, like malware in the drivers. This is no joke, since USB firmware OS totally insecure and could easily be corrupted with a rootkit or ransomware installers. But perhaps Amazon's international legal team might be too intimidating for vendors to try this. Let's hope so. Well, I wouldn't count on that. Or, on the other hand, infected USB firmware might become such a nightmare plague as to cause even the worst malware criminals to avoid it because it would endanger their operations as well. Criminal extortionware cannot work if the entire internet is is incapacitated, or malware infections have to be limited to scope in order for the problem. This is from Will. Will, thanks for the email. One thing I wouldn't count on is any vendor being afraid of Amazon in order to send something, okay? So we always have to be careful. This email is from Rob. Hi, Mike. I have been a Quicken user for 20 years, and I really liked it, but it got to be quite a hassle for me to use to make a budget for my family. Recently, I found a great program called You Need a Budget, and I have the link. It costs $60, and I am trying the trial version, but I am going to buy the program. It is one of the best programs I have ever seen for making a budget. Plus, they have free webinars that you can watch to help you. I have been struggling to make a budget for years because I never really knew how until I found this program. You get a fully functional 34-day trial, and you might get lucky if you attend the webinar and get the program for free on one of their webinar giveaways. Thought I would pass this information along to you so you could share it with your listeners, because I know there are many people out there like me who struggle with budgeting their income. Great show, and hopefully this software will help a lot of people. Robert, thank you so much. And again, that is software called You Need a Budget. Link will be in the show notes. This is a follow-up from Rob. I forgot to tell you that You Need a Budget uses Dropbox, and it is available for PC, Mac, Android, and iOS devices. And using Dropbox, it automatically syncs the data. So you will need a Dropbox account, if you don't have one already, to sync it to another device. Or if you only want to use it on one computer, you can save it locally. Well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're going to share the data with multiple devices, then you're going to need some kind of an online account. And it looks like this is married to Dropbox. Rob, thank you. This is from Nathan. Windows update never finds drivers. Hi, Mike. Recently, I've run into a problem with my desktop running Windows 7 Ultimate. Windows Update will never find drivers for devices I plug into any USB port. I could take the same device and plug it into my laptop running Windows 7 Pro, and Windows finds the drivers without a problem. Do you or any of your listeners have any suggestions of things I can try to fix this? I searched all over for a fix and ran a couple Microsoft Fixit to correct the problem with Windows Update, but still have the issue. I ran into this problem a couple years ago and had to reinstall the operating system to fix it. I hate to do that again and was hoping to hold off until Windows 10 came out. Thank you so much for doing the show, and I have been a listener for years now and a faithful user of your Amazon link. Nate, thank you very much. I have something for you to try. Because I always try to think out of the box. And anytime I hear there's a problem with the USB port, and especially since you said every USB port, and this happens all the time, who is the manufacturer of your motherboard and the chipset? I want you to reinstall the chipset drivers for your motherboard. It can't hurt. What's the worst case? You reload the driver. The chipset drivers is the foundation of getting a USB port to work properly. I have a feeling that either it wasn't installed or something got corrupt and there was a problem. But reloading the chipset drivers has saved me many, many times when there's been an issue with USB devices. So just something to try. And let me know how you make out with that. Also, thank you for recommending and mentioning that you use my Amazon link. I want to thank everybody for continuing to use that. It really helps support the show. And that link is amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small percentage comes back to help the Mic Tech Show. And I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's it for tonight's show. I want everybody to have a great week. Be safe. Have a good time. And I will see you back here next week, same time, same channel. That's it. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mic Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.